It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Earlier today, a much-awaited Vatican report on Roman Catholic nuns in the United States was released. The report is the result of an investigation that goes by the official name Apostolic Visitation. The investigation was launched in 2008 after some Vatican officials and U.S. bishops voiced concerns that some American nuns had adopted a secular mentality and had been infiltrated by what one official at the time called radical feminism. The inquiry began during the papacy of former Pope Benedict and involved 341 religious orders and about 50,000 nuns. So this is a big morning for U.S. nuns in the Catholic Church. The Vatican in Rome held a press conference to report the results of the apostolic visitation. And in a statement at the press conference, Cardinal João Brás Dias, prefect of the Congregation for Institutes of Consecrated Life and Societies of Apostolic Life, addressed the pushback from sisters in the U.S. by acknowledging that the visitation was met with apprehension, but now that it's been conducted, the Church wants to make an effort to welcome the efforts of the sisters who were in question.
We welcome with joy the recent words of Pope Francis on the indispensable contributions of women to society and church. And I can assure that this congregation is working to cooperate to respond to the resolution of Pope Francis that women's ingenuity can express itself in the various places and in decision-making, both in the church and in the social structures.
Speaking through an interpreter at the press conference this morning at the Vatican, Cardinal João Brás Dias, joining us now to talk about the report released today, Sister Simone Campbell, Catholic, Roman Catholic nun and executive director of NETWRC, a national Catholic social justice lobby, and also Sister Marianne Zolman, past president of Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, co-editor of the book Power of the Sisterhood, Women Religious Tell the Story of Apostolic Visitation. Sister Marianne Zolman and Sister Simone Campbell, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Great to be with you.
Let me talk with you, first of all, Sister Simone Campbell. Overall, the impression of, according to major news media, that this report is being characterized as striking, as conciliatory in tone, praising Roman Catholic nuns in the U.S. for their social and educational work, but urging them to stick to church teachings. A fair characterization?
I hear much more the former than the latter as I read the report. It really is a clear affirmation of our commitment to the gospel and that it has led us to places of working for systemic change, for justice. I've never seen a Vatican report that affirmatively says that working on socially responsible investments is part of our ministry, and that is affirmed. I think that there is a theme about continued reflection on our lives and continuing journeying deeper into the spiritual reality, which is a never-ending process. But I didn't see at all in it a critique of us as being not faithful to church teaching. It was an encouragement to continue along the road that we've been going.
Is that the way you see it, Sister Marianne Zolman?
Absolutely. And in addition to the social teaching, I very much appreciated the several times in the course of the press conference where the inclusion of women and further dialogue about the role of women in decision-making will be part of that dialogue moving forward. And I'm really very eager to participate in those conversations.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the part of the report that I think that a number of nuns during the investigation expressed this need for greater recognition of the role that nuns play in the church, and more the women should have more input into the decisions that affect them. And do you see this as a new era for women in the Catholic Church then, Sister Marianne?
I do. I see this as opening us to possibilities for a new kind of future. I think that both Vatican and we women religious have to be proactive in assuring that these kinds of conversations go forward along the social justice issues that Simone alluded to, and also with the role of women in the church. For genuine dialogue to take place, both parties in that dialogue have significant responsibility. So I think it's up to both the appropriate offices in Rome and us as women religious to be proactive in making that happen.
Pope Francis, I understand, has promised to appoint women to decision-making roles in the Vatican. Sister Simone, do you see anything concrete yet in terms of women actually being put in positions where they're a bigger part of decision-making?
Well, I think it's happening slowly, and our church is not noted for rapid change, but the fact is that it is happening. A woman was appointed to head one of the theological schools, the Franciscan Theological School in Rome, one of the eight schools there. That is really significant for a woman to hold a position in a school of theology. That is historic. It may feel small, but it really is a big step. I think probably in this document, one of the most important pieces with regards to the role of women is the statement that, which they kind of put in just by the by, they say it will certainly be of interest to all that Pope Francis has asked the Office for Religious to cooperate with the Congregation for Bishops to create a new model of collaboration between the bishops and the leadership of women religious. I mean, they put it in as, oh, yes, this has been going on for a very long time. Actually, this is new news. And so I think it is a step forward. But knowing the Vatican and the Italian way, they'll never admit a change or they'll never admit error. And so their approach is, oh, yes, we've been working on this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yesterday.
I also have something to say about that. I think that the visual that we saw this morning at the press
Absolutely.
Conference, where there was the panel and it was collaboration and there were women religious up there as part of the presentation speaking their voices as women, I think that visual models how to we might move forward together.
How much of this can you attribute to Pope Francis?
Oh, a significant amount. I think this is one of the ironies of arguments that I've made in the past is that I've argued that the real issue within the Catholic Church is the issue of monarchy versus democracy, and that we come from a democratic culture in the United States and we expect every voice at the table. But I've discovered that the good news about a monarchy is when the monarch changes, when the single leader changes, it can make for profound change. We know in our democracy that electing a new president may or may not make change. We've had some recent experience of real challenge of getting policies changed, but with Pope Francis, I think it's a significant leadership change, a significant focus, a different focus. And the other piece is Pope Francis is a member of a religious community, so he understands what religious life is, and I think he brings that understanding to this report.
If you've just joined us, Sister Simone Campbell is with us, along with Sister Mary Ann Zolman, reacting to an issued report today, a much-awaited report from the Vatican on Roman Catholic nuns in the United States. Let's talk a little bit about specific issues. So, this is a news program, so we do talk about the specific issues. At the time of this investigation, launched back in 2008 under Pope Benedict, the investigation said some nuns did not sufficiently espouse church teachings against abortion and homosexuality, and that some had become too involved in political issues. What do you see in this report about those issues, Sister Mary Ann?
Well, I need to say that I have not had time to really read the report reflectively as far as those specifics. However, what I do see in the report is an invitation to look at all the issues of life, the ethical issues of life as a whole, and to look at pro-life across the whole spectrum of human life and to address those issues as women religious have been so doing compassionately. There's a real exhortation in there to reach out to those, to the poor, who are all those at the margins. And that would include a whole array of human beings who need to be drawn into the heart of our compassion and our ethical action. So I do read that in the report, that there's a sense that there's something bigger going on for the sake of life.
Sister Simone Campbell, on the issue of homosexuality, of course, big changes in attitudes here in the United States in terms of acceptance of same-sex marriage. Do you see any parallel change within the Catholic Church? If not so dramatic, some change?
Oh, I think that the pastoral attitude versus the enforcement of cold law is the big thing that's happening within our church. And from my perspective and prayer, that this is much closer to the Jesus of the gospel, who always reached out to those who were suffering and in pain and tried to be a healer. I think it's that message that we're seeing. Certainly in this document, there's nothing mentioning those hot button social issues. And so this per se doesn't make any change, but I think what it does is underscores the call to dialogue. Pope Francis last year, when he said, with regards to gay and lesbian folks, who am I to judge, changed the direction, the tone, and our approach to all of our sisters and brothers. And that is that style is reflected here with the affirmation of our work in the areas of justice. I think it's huge.
What is your feeling, Sister Simone, about the if Pope Francis is moving in one direction in some of the directions that we've talked about here? Are there elements within the church? I assume, of course, there are that would rather not move in these directions.
Oh, absolutely. And you see some of that being played out. Bishop Chaput yesterday from Philadelphia was quoted as saying, well, you know, well, it's nice about immigration reform, but, you know, the White House has been doing all these horrible things, which I disagree about, but it comes out of his analysis based on his perspective of a very narrow view of what's happening in our society. And so that there are certainly elements within the church that don't see this as the good direction. But I admire them for being consistent, a consistent voice for their perspective, and invite them to the same prayer and reflection and openness to what we call God's Spirit, God's grace, to enter into this moment of dialogue that Sister Marianne was referring to. It really takes courage to be willing to let go of even my most precious opinions about how you are wrong in order to find where we're called in the gospel. And it means all of us have to let go of that opinion. That's tough spiritual work.
Right. And dialogue is courageous conversation. It's not easy. And Simone has just described why that is true. And so if we can model women religious in Rome, and Rome can model those kinds of courageous conversations, that it would be a great gift to our church as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Sister Marianne, let me ask you about another small passage, or actually a few words in this report that just came out this morning, actually 4 o'clock our time. The report urged U.S. nuns, quote, not to displace Christ as you go about your social work in hospitals and education, in helping the poor, the homeless. How do you interpret that, Sister Marianne?
Well, I've not had a lot of time to, you know, really look at the interpretation of it, but I would say for us as women religious, going back to the gospel message, there is absolutely no way that we displace Christ in the way we live our mission. We live our mission in the entire image and the way of Christ. Christ reached out to those at the margins, welcomed in to the heart of the table those who were marginalized. And so we do that with Christ at the very center of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Sister Simone, last time we spoke with you, we talked about you were on your second Nuns on the Bus tour. I think that focused on immigration in 2013. So this initially, this report was kicked off by also a criticism of perhaps too much political activism on the part of U.S. nuns. Does this in any way curtail your activism?
Absolutely not. It's an affirmation of our work. I mean, part of what gives me joy is the affirmation for the creative work that Catholic Sisters have done to embody what we call their mission and charism, the founding spirit of their congregations in these very different times in the 21st century. And they totally affirm the work in social justice, the engagement with systemic change, the engagement with corporate responsibility. And that affirmation of that call to justice, it resounds throughout the whole document over and over, is that affirmation for our hard work to live the mission of our communities. And it is totally an affirmation for our work here at Network, which is joy to my heart, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, too, that what this does is it encourages us so that we live our lives not relinquishing any of the stances that we've taken, but to do so now with renewed energy and vitality, born of the affirmation that we find in this report.
Could I just connect that into the question you asked about centering on Christ?
Right.
Because, see, the message of the gospel over and over is that Jesus went to where there was pain or injustice and set it free without fear. For us, keeping Christ at the center of our work means going without fear to where the Spirit leads us. And that is a radical engagement of the gospel that is affirmed in this report, I believe.
Right. And we could never do what we do and be who we are without the impetus of the gospel message.
Do you see in this report any sense of where the role of women in the Catholic Church is headed? In talking with you, it seems like you've been invited to a dialogue with the Vatican, not reprimanded in any way that you can mention here. Where should we see the direction and the role of women in the church? Women in the priesthood at some point?
Oh, eventually, maybe. The church does move slowly. First, we've got to get women as equals at the table. The next step would be then in actual dialogue and that deep listening, that challenging listening that Sister Marianne was talking about, and then being decision makers. And we're oozing in that direction, but it's going to take time, and I think we're going to have to take a wait-and-see attitude to see, do they really mean dialogue, or do they just mean listening on our part? And I think that there's diversity of opinion on that,
right,
but I hope the folks for dialogue win.
Sister Marianne, did you have something to say on that point?
No, I agree with what Simone is saying, and what I have as a result of this is a new hope for the potential inclusion of women in the decision-making processes of our church. This document, because it articulates it, gives us a basis to move forward with that as hope and an energy and a goal. And I do want to say that some of this is going to need to begin on the local level with the pastors in our church and our own diocese, we don't need necessarily to start with a leap from here to Rome, but to start locally for those inclusive, courageous conversations.
The report also acknowledged that nuns in the United States are facing major challenges. I think it noted that the average age of nuns in the U.S., could this be 70?
Yes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And also fewer women are becoming nuns. There are about 50,000 nuns in the U.S. currently, compared to, in the mid-60s, 125,000. Sister Simone, what do you feel is the key to having more women choose this order as their calling?
Well, I think even this Vatican document acknowledges that it was aberrational that a high number of women religious in the 60s, that was certainly beyond the usual expectation. But I think one of the things that they do acknowledge is that new members in community are enter older with professional experiences and have different needs. But I would also underscore that sometimes it is difficult for women who have professional training to and are deeply spiritually drawn to enter a community where they feel like the institution of which this community is a part is either anti-women or dismissive of women, not understanding of leadership and not understanding of the spiritual journey in religious life. So there's dual messages that are being given by the church. Oh, please come, but we really don't like you. So in that mixed messages of the past, I think some women have really, at least I know several women that have really felt put off. I'm hoping this gets us closer to being in sync with each other so that women drawn to a life that I've found amazingly rewarding and deeply spiritual and a wonderful gift would be able to share that more readily.
Sister Mary Ann, do you also see the tone of this new report as a good recruitment tool?
Well, I believe, as Simone just said, that opening up possibilities for leadership in the church to women could be a way of attracting more women to religious life. And I have another perspective on that, and it is that, as Simone said, the numbers of women entering religious congregations in the 40s and 50s and early 60s was really an anomaly. What we're seeing now, I think, is a much smaller group of vowed religious, and I don't necessarily see that as a negative. What I think is also happening is that the charism and the energy and the spirit of our religious congregations is being shared and being caught by many women and men who are not going to choose to live the vowed life, but they partner with us in that same gospel energy. And therefore, in some ways, that gospel charism is being unleashed and expanded beyond the boundaries of religious life and certainly beyond our individual religious congregations.
Okay.
And there's something quite powerful in that.
Sister Mary Ann Zolman and Sister Simone Campbell, thank you for joining us with your reaction to this new report put out by the Vatican today, the much-anticipated report looking at the role of Catholic nuns in the U.S. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us. Thanks, Simone.
Thank you, Marianne.
Okay.
Coming up in our second half hour, in an effort to curb obesity, several states and cities have continued to propose a tax on soft drinks. We'll ask in our second half hour how effective legislation like a soda tax or a fat tax is in curbing obesity. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.